This is Signal 337, the podcast for the innately curious and creative. Hey friends, this is Tim McKenna, and this is another episode of Signal 337. We've made it. It is 2021, and the dumpster fire that was 2020 is officially over. That does not mean, however, we don't still have a lot of work ahead of us in 2021 to fix some of the systemic issues that makes American culture, well, the way that it is right now. However, I am incredibly optimistic and enthusiastic, and that is going to translate into some new articles, some new episodes, and just my little corner of the world of where I have something to say where I can help make things better. And with that, let's start off with a super controversial, super beating the dead horse episode where I'm going to share my thoughts and ideas on a topic. And today, we're going to talk about what designers should do. And we're going to hit those topics that have been covered oh so much in the past. Namely, five things that I think designers should know how to do. And I'm going to qualify these five things. The five things in general I say that designers should be able to know how to do at least a little bit should be coding, writing, doing their own QA testing, talking to their users, and ultimately designing things. I think designers should do all of these things. And some of you may be like, all right, I'm getting out of this episode. This episode sucks already. But give me a minute and I will qualify and give context and my own thoughts on why designers should be able to do all of these things. Let's first jump into the big one, coding. I actually posted this about 8 years ago on Designer News as a blog post that I wrote, and then I asked everyone on Designer News what they thought about it, and I had a really good conversation. Some squarely in the camp of designers and coding, no, and some saying, yeah, and some saying, yeah, they should. And honestly, my opinion has changed over time. Back then, my own experience with coding was just real basic, building some simple front ends from the designs that I had. And now that I've been in the industry for a while, and I have built up my experience and acumen, my thought process has changed a little bit. However, I still feel that designers should code. And here is the context, here's the reason why, and here's the extent to which designers should. So regardless of your discipline as a designer, I think that it's still highly important that designers should know how to write some basic HTML and CSS. And that's it. I don't think that a designer needs to learn JavaScript. Helpful? Sure. Necessary? No. I think that a designer that understands the constraints and how these tools work, and that's what I look at HTML and CSS as. They're tools. If you understand how HTML and CSS work, it will inform your design process. Particularly if you are a UI designer or a visual designer, I think understanding foundational level HTML and CSS is super helpful. Now, if you're a user experience designer or a marketing designer, you're probably less inclined to probably want to learn HTML and CSS, as that's very tactical, and a lot of what marketing designers and user experience designers more focused on psychology of like how someone might interact with something and maybe doing a lot less work of actually designing the front end and building the front end. However, I still think it's helpful. Even if you don't use those skills every single day, having a base level knowledge of those technologies, those tools will definitely help. Again, you may not be utilizing HTML and CSS every single day, and nor should any designer be focused on building the front end entirely. And the front end development world is its own discipline, and there are amazing front end developers who know how to use task runners, who've got their Git set up, everything the way that they need to build the front end and really execute on that. And do designers need to know how to do that? No. However, I think that if designers know enough of front-end work with HTML and CSS, that does create a bridge. That does create the opportunity for better collaboration between engineers and developers and designers. That way, with that shared base foundational knowledge, they can work more effectively. And that's where I think the true value comes into play for designers knowing how to code. And if they can do that, I think that you're going to have better collaboration, better innovation, ultimately better communication. So, should designers code? Yes, with the caveat. HTML, CSS, boom, that's it. Do you have to get anything crazy with JavaScript? No. Do you need to know a preprocessor like SAS? No. Do you need to know how your Git setup is? No. I think if you just understand a little bit of HTML and CSS will go a long way. That gets into writing. Should designers write? I think they should. Now, again, some of you might be like, probably stepping on somebody else's territory. We have copywriters. We have content strategists for that. Yes, those folks who do writing for a job, copywriters, editors, content strategists, they are incredible partners that designers need to work with. And in the same vein of understanding the base level of knowledge and content, I think that designers are going to behoove themselves if they have some of the same shared lingo and same understanding that a content strategist and a copywriter has, so that way they can be more effective as a designer. So I know that I, at a pretty shitty level, I have a hard time doing it. It's something that I'm not super comfortable with. Like, I have a lot of ideas. However, I'm very untrained in this role myself. So I look to my colleagues in content strategy and copywriting, and I look to them like, how can I grow my knowledge and skills so that we can work and communicate more effectively? And I think that what you do by doing that type of approach, understanding the basics, you help to create a better cadence and a better relationship with your content folks. So just like code, does the designer need to write everything? No. Some of you in the marketing world might be in that position, which is difficult. But if you have copywriters and you have content strategists, work with them. Learn from them so that you can be more effective working with them in the future. Third thing, should designers do their own QA testing? I'm a big believer in this because very often when you're in a technology company or if you're in an advertising and marketing agency, designers design the look. They look the feel, the interactions, whatever. They design that, and then it's handed off to development and engineering to build it out. And then it goes on to quality assurance to make sure that it meets the requirements of what the system, whatever the product or the service is meant to do. If you are creating technology, creating a product, you're going to have quality assurance run through, put the product through its paces to make sure that it meets the requirements before it goes out to market. Now, often, and not every organization, but often, there is a bit of a delineation, design, development, QA, out. And then it goes back and forth a little bit of it's not performing the way that we wanted it to. How you designed it isn't working really well for how the engineers need to build it. So in the same spirit that designers should be able to understand the foundation level of coding with HTML and CSS, and also having the foundations and understanding on good writing principles, I think that if designers work closely with their engineers and their content strategy folks, and then do their own pass of the system, whether it's in a stage environment or a beta environment, whatever, before it gets to QA proper, like the quality assurance teams, if they can do that, they can catch a lot of things earlier on that they have a little bit more context to. So that way it makes QA's job easier themselves. And if you can understand how they're going to be testing everything and going through all their scenarios and use cases and benchmarking performance against requirements, what you end up doing is helping them do their job easier. You also have greater control and understanding how things were then built, how they were kicked out, what compromises were made if needed, if any. and what decisions were made in development that needed to change so that when it gets to QA, they are testing the right things and not failing certain items. So I think it's just important, if you have the ability to, is to do your own QA kind of test, pass through with everything, so that when it actually gets to the QA team proper, they're able to understand, like, all right, this has been looked at once before, we're either going to validate or find new things out. And if you don't have that opportunity to do that little buffer of QA before QA does it, sit with QA. See if you can sit with them, and more heads are better than one in this regard. Put it through its paces. Again, the idea is not to be an expert in QA. It's rather to grow your knowledge and better communicate, collaborate, so that way whatever gets actually put out to market is something that is truly in line with the product vision and meet the market expectations. The fourth thing here, talk to your users. You'd think, duh, designers should talk to their users. Unfortunately, I don't really see that being the industry standard in a lot of respects. A lot of times, there are organizations that, for some reason, can't talk to their users or don't have the ability to, and there's a lot of assumptions that are going on. Now, luckily, especially in user experience and service design, talking to your users is part and parcel. It's what drives the product. Using human-centered design to inform your product development is absolutely necessary. However, not every industry, not every team, not every company does this. So for those of you who are new to talking to users or have never done it, or for those of you who are in management positions or the C-suite level, you really need to let your designers talk with the actual users, talk with the market audience, those who would be using your product or service, to understand what it is that the market thinks about your product or service, if it's something that already exists, if you have competitors, if it's something brand new, to get basically a temperature of what people might think about this if something were to come out. And also just understand, like, what are the mental models of your audience, like where they're at. If you build a product that is going to cater to a very small niche of people who would actually use it, but you've marketed it to a wider audience, it's going to fail. So it's important for designers to talk with the market, talk with their audience, talk with their users to understand where they're coming from. That will inform their design process to build something that is successful. It sounds like a no-brainer and sounds, again, duh, we should be doing this and we already are doing this. But this is really focusing on those who don't do that at this point. And if you do have a user experience research team or just a pure research team, market research, bring your designers into that. Bring them into that and have them be part of that process so they get a deeper understanding and appreciation for how to do research, because that's something that a lot of designers know that they need to do, but may not be completely aware of how to do it properly, especially with introducing bias into a survey or an interview, how they may even inadvertently color someone's perspective on something. So let your designers talk to the users. And then lastly, this one is particularly for the managers. Should designers design? And you might be thinking, that's a stupid statement. However, in the many years that I have been working as a designer, I can tell you that more often than not, I spend most of my time in meetings than I actually do spend designing things. Now, I've moved into a lot more management and leadership positions, and I've changed my role a good bit. I'm no longer so much an individual contributor as I am helping to execute strategy and managing others. However, there are many meetings that happen that designers have been clawing to get a seat at the table for, but now I've seen the opposite happen, where a lot of designers are now in meetings and they're going to meetings, and then they have another meeting, and they have another meeting, and they have to work with engineering on how things are going to be built out. They have to give their perspective on the user experience. They have to work with product to understand like the product strategy and the roadmap. They have to work with other folks. There's a lot of time that's spent in meetings and non-design work that designers still need to get other work done, like design work done, and they really need some heads down time to do. So, some of you who might be listening at this point who are designers, like, yeah, I'm in a lot of meetings, and it's tough because I still have deadlines, I still have to get other work done, but I have to be in this meeting. So, for those of you who are management, I really need you to think about this. When you are setting up a meeting, think about who really needs to be there, why, and make sure that it's not just an expensive meeting just to have people in it. Make sure that the right people are there. Provide an agenda. And really ask yourself, do I need to have my individual contributors into this meeting? What am I expecting out of them for this meeting? If you can't answer certain questions around like why your designers need to be there, then it may not be necessary for them to be there. And this is all about being more thoughtful in your approach for who needs what information at what time. And you need to be able to communicate that information well to other folks, timely and when they need it, and in a way that's going to be effective. Just having your designers in 4 hours of meetings each day doesn't mean they're actually designing anything, and they need that time to get into that headspace, to understand problems, to understand research, to understand how they're going to create something so that they can actually fuel some of the discussions later on and also enable the work that's going to be done by engineering, development, content strategy, QA. So this is all about protecting your designer's time. Do they need to be in that meeting? Does this meeting need to exist? Should this meeting be an email? Should this meeting just be something that happens in Slack? Can this be scheduled out later? Do my design team really need to be in part of this? Could they be more effective in other ways? Can they be actually working on other things? So this all goes to that. This all goes to protecting their time so that they can do the best work, and then having them scheduled into meetings as needed so that they can be effective and have their voice there. There's 5 things. Should designers code, write, QA test, talk to users, and design? Yeah, they should do all these things with the understanding that they are there to have enough knowledge to be dangerous so that they can communicate and collaborate more effectively. That is the crux. They should be able to do all these things well enough to collaborate with other domain experts. And some of you might be thinking, well, okay, now is the designer the jack of all trades? Is the designer the Swiss Army knife? Is the designer just someone who knows how to do a little bit of everything but is a master of none? No. I still think that designers should be T-shaped individuals. The analogy T-shape is they have stronger, deeper domain knowledge in 3 main areas, particularly in 1 major area. So if you look at a T, you've got 2 wings of the T, and then you've got deep knowledge there. So maybe a designer is very focused on user experience and has a little bit of knowledge in research and a little bit of knowledge in engineering, something like that. It doesn't hurt to have some familiarity and enough knowledge to be able to talk effectively with other areas that's something that they don't really work with them. So in the case of coding, you might have a designer, a UI designer, that is knowledgeable enough with HTML and CSS so that when they're working with a developer, they know how to have that right communication back and forth so that what is designed actually gets built the way that the designer intends. Whereas another designer who works more in looking at how things are laid out on the page might be working more with a copywriter or a content strategist and might have a little bit more domain knowledge here. Really think about, if you are a designer, just having enough base knowledge in areas that will help you do your job more effectively, help you communicate more effectively, and be successful. Versus you need to be a domain expert in all these things and cutting out those other folks. Again, your knowledge should be, how can I grow as a designer so that I may be more effective? And that's pretty much the crux. So, with that, I start off 2020 with a controversial-ish, you know, type of a topic, but something that I feel has helped me in my career grow, and something that I think that all designers, that when they have this knowledge, it just helps them become more well-rounded, more effective in their role. Because the opposite is a really dangerous area to be in. Designers who don't want to look at writing, don't want to look at copy at all, and don't want to partner with other folks, that's a weird, dangerous place to be in. And honestly, I don't think you have much of a career path ahead of you if you have that mentality. So with that, I want to bring it to an end. Again, I want to say thank you to everyone who's listened to me for the past 2 years. This is going into year 3 of Signal 337, so I'm super excited for 2021, for all the new things that we're going to do. And again, I want to say that everything that I talk about in the show is from my perspective, from my experience, and is not indicative of past employers or any current employers or partners that I may work with. This is all coming out of my own head, all my own experience. So with that, I want to thank everyone so very much and take care.